Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our telephone conference of Allianz SE on the publishing of the group financial results for the third quarter of 2014. For your information, this conference will be taped, and I would now like to hand over to Mr. Christian Kreuz.
Good morning also from my side for the presentation of the group financial results for the third quarter of 2014. As usual in the third quarter, Dieter Wemmer, our Chief Financial Officer, will guide you through the figures.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kreuz, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome also from my side. I hope you've all had the opportunity to open the presentation. I hope everything has worked fine from a technical point of view. I would like to start on page three, headed titled Highlights of the Third Quarter. I think the points that have been mentioned here describe the agenda, the change agenda of our company. In P&C, our focus is on the modular product, especially in the non-motor business. In Life Health, our larger offer of unit-linked and hybrid products, like the fixed index annuities in the United States or Perspektive in Germany, this enhanced offer has dominated the field. In asset management, we see the generation change at PIMCO that has dominated the news. Under investments, you can see one of the examples of our newest infrastructure investments in the U.K. market. In the German market, we also plan to, or we expect to see more opportunities in the future. Digitalization is important for all our segments. It's high up on the agenda. What we've introduced here at Allianz Germany is a product that allows our customers to buy motor insurance online so that they can choose themselves whether they want to have a pure online product or whether they want to combine the self-service on the internet with the service of an agent. Our Anglo-Saxon subsidiaries in Australia and the United Kingdom have won all awards that were available or that were up for grabs in their markets. I would like to come to the results. 2.65 billion operating profit, slightly above the analysts' expectations. That continues the very good results of the last quarter. The main driver of the positive development this quarter was the P&C business and the strong diversification of our group with the three segments enables us time and again to continue from one good result to the next end. Therefore, we will also continue to keep our outlook for the end of the year at the upper range, so the well-known 10 billion ±500 million. We expect to get close to 10.5 billion. That's the outlook for 2014, and I think it needs to be underlined that growth in of 14.3% internal growth or 15.5% total revenue growth at the edge of our 125th birthday, that shows that a mature company with a large market share can still continue to grow quite well. You can see this by going over on to the shareholders' equity, 58.1. That's a new record figure for the group. The solvency ratio that you can see here, the economic solvency as well as the conglomerate solvency, economic solvency, will become important from next year, turning into the Solvency II ratio. These solvency ratios are still strong, and they allow us to continue our growth expectations or growth development. What has the development been like in the individual segments? at page 6, you can see the strong internal growth of PNC. We had strong organic growth here. Here the main drivers were the broker markets, the Anglo-Saxon broker markets, but also the global lines, that is to say AGCS, Allianz Worldwide Partners, and Euler Hermes. When it comes to total growth, Italy stands out. That's no surprise because the acquisition of the 1 billion Asian portfolio of Unipol had been announced at the beginning of the year, and the start of that transfer was on the 1st of July. Therefore, the third quarter, we recognized the figures for the first time. Therefore, the 9% growth in Italy stem from this kind of external growth to 100%. Now, switching to the profit development in PNC, the combined ratio has improved to 93.5 percentage points. I believe that is a very strong proof of our performance also compared to our competitors. Now you could say, well, you didn't have any natural catastrophe over the course of the quarter. It's clear that everything will run smoothly, and I have to agree that we had very favorable winds, if you wish, in the quarter, and that had a very positive effect on the improvement. But nevertheless, we still have a 2.6% runoff ratio, even though at first glance that seems to be weaker compared to the last year. But I will talk about this in a minute, about a restructuring measurements at Fireman's Fund and what will happen with Fireman's Fund in the future. I'll come to this in a minute. We can then go directly to the next slide, page 8. The main contributors to our operating profit. Germany is once again is back at the top, the combined ratio of 90.3%. You might remember that we had a goal of 95% for Germany for the year, so we are very well on track in this regard. And Germany also had a target for the cost ratio, and we're slightly better than the target. In addition to the improvement in operating profit, Germany last year had a year with many natural catastrophes. There were the large floodings and then different summer storms which didn't take place this year. Which is really positive is the development in France. That is the best result in our PNC business, or that has been the best result in our PNC business ever since AGCS has become part of the Allianz Group. And in Italy we've almost gotten used to very good results, and as said before, growth in apart from Australia, I would like to underline the UK. UK is doing very good, and if you had the result to take a look at our capital market figures in July in detail, you could see that in the UK we've developed the sales a very solid and profitable niche position, which enables us to grow and create good margins. The next slide, slide 9, sums up quite well how the overall portfolio in PNC, in our PNC business, is being controlled. You have our core markets there with a combined ratio of below 95%. They make up close to two-thirds of our overall portfolio. Those are the Then we have these are the main profit drivers, but they have a slightly lower growth. Then we have the global activities and the Anglo-Saxon broker markets. Here the profit margins are still good, but a little weaker. But on the other side, we have much larger growth opportunities here. And then we have 9% of our portfolio, which we see in restructuring, where we need to take targeted measures to improve the underwriting result and maybe also the combined ratio in a positive way. Now, for Fireman's Fund, we had announced some weeks ago that we would plan an integration of commercial business into AGCS US. Just as a background, AGCS in the United States has about $1 billion of corporate business in Fireman's Fund. Right now, approximately $1.5 billion in corporate business volume. And by combining these two segments, we believe that in our market presentation, we can follow our One Allianz trend and can position ourselves differently in the broker market and make large capacities available under the brand name Allianz, but also that we'll also be able to improve from efficiency gains to therefore create a higher profitability for our business there. We talked about Russia in the last quarters already here, the motor business has become so unattractive with margins being set by the state that you can't do anything but reduce the business there, and this is what we're doing in a targeted way. Now when we come to Brazil, here we had some issues with our IT platform that I already reported on in previous quarters, and I think we're well on the way to finalize the renovation and refurbishing work till the end of the year, so that we will then be able to come back to the success of years before. On the next page, you can see the interest income in P&C. So this quarter, compared to the previous year, the investment results, the interest income is still quite well, but the reinvestment yield, which has dropped to 2.3%, that will certainly remain under pressure in Europe. In the United States, the yield curve might develop differently. But if I look at the announcement by Mr. Draghi over the last 2 days, the massive purchase of ABS papers, this asset class that talks about fixed interest papers that are backed by a different kind of guarantee, the reinvestment yield for it will come significantly under pressure if the ECB should really start to purchase these kinds of asset classes massively. Now, after a very good result in property and casualty, we'll take a look at our life business on page 11. 25% growth is a really great result for our top line, and this will then turn into 13 billion euros of inflows for the first 9 months, but I'll come to this in detail in a minute. Let's first take a look at who's contributed to that growth. Germany, 4%, that might not seem that much, but the previous quarters had a much higher growth rate, and then you have to see how the German market has developed overall. So our amount of new business also in the third quarter, our share of the new business has grew also in the third quarter. We should be somewhere above 30%. It's too early to tell that in detail because we don't have any final market figures for the third quarter yet. Very high growth continuously in the United States and Italy. In the US, we continue the success of our fixed index annuity product, which we started last September. And in Italy, we continue to seize the sales potential of our bank partner UniCredito in Italy. And in addition to these Western core countries, our business has also continued well, has grown very well in Asia Pacific. Here, Taiwan is the main driver, also with the banking channel being the main profit driver. And then there are other markets that contribute to the overall success, but I would now like to take a look at the overall development of our life health portfolio. You can see the growth in our new business, and you can see it here over 2 years from the third quarter 2012 to 2014, and you can see that the trend and our strategy have both gone into one direction. And if you look at all the profitability parameters, our life health business continues to be attractive, a good yardstick for the development of our life health segment is if we take a look at the reserves. So these are the saved funds of our customers, and over the 2 years we had inflows of 55 billion euros, including the interest rates that we generated for that. And I think this business is really in an excellent shape, and that the interest rate income is under pressure is something we obviously can't avoid, but nevertheless I believe that customers get a better return from us than from many comparable investments which face the same type of market pressure. Now, what does this all look like for the shareholder? The operating profit in life health on page 13 is slightly higher than in the previous year, and the investment margin has been slightly increased, and that was affected negatively last year because we had write-offs on foreign currencies, and they're instead of being written off or down, they will always be recognized with their current figures. And the emerging markets currencies last year were under pressure, and we see the emerging marketing currents. There's still a slight plus, even if we take out the valuation losses. Now, the strong increase in cost that is due to 97% the higher underwriting costs, and that's obvious. I mean, if you have such a strong new business and growth as we've posted, then these are not bad costs, if you wish, but good costs you have to accept. And you can see this then on the next page, because the new business margin, that is what the life insurers came up, because they don't just want to see the initial losses. It doesn't just take into account the initial losses of a policy, but also the future profit of that. And then you can see that we have a new business margin of 2.4% for a life health portfolio. That is to say that over the lifetime of a life policy, on the basis of the new business value, 2.4% of the paid premiums of the customer can be earned. Now, to finish the life business, let me look at the investment margin, an important yardstick. What can we pay to the customers? How secure is it that we can keep our guarantees? And compared to the previous year, we had lost 9 basis points in the current yield, 94 basis points this quarter, and if you multiply this up to the annual yield, then we're talking about close to 3.8%. And I think that can hold up with any product in the banking sector these days. And then also through active management, we can gain additional interest yields, and therefore for the whole quarter we come up with 119 basis points. So if you calculate this for the year, we're close to 4.8%, and therefore we can pay a guarantees which have an average of 2.4% across our whole portfolio, and another 1.6% then will be paid out as profit participation to the customers. So 4% overall, I think that's a good share, and for the shareholders then over the year, there are 80 basis points remaining of the year, 19 basis points for this quarter, and I think this shows that we have a good balance between good returns for the customers and safety and security for the shareholders. Let us now look at the asset management business. At first glance, it might be astonishing that our assets under management have grown to 1,872 billion euros. That is a plus of 3% compared to the 30th of June. Reason for this is the growing value of the US dollar. I think we were at 126, 127 in the dollar price. And if you look at the dollar price development, it will probably continue to appreciate over the next months and will therefore increase our figures as a company that has a euro balance sheet. PIMCO had 49 billion in outflows, 30 billion of that happened over the last four days, so that was after Bill Gross left the company. That had a significant impact on the company, certainly, but that is something we had taken into account, and the outflows are absolutely in the frame of our expectations, and PIMCO's performance, that is what counts for the future development of such a company. The 3-year performance shows a 93% outperformance across all funds. The total return fund in its total performance of the 3 years was rather one of the weaker funds, and I believe that PIMCO for the next phase of their strategic development have been well set up. If we now look at the revenues on page 17, revenues and fees in our asset management business, well, the assets under management haven't changed that much. Therefore, fees have only been reduced by 2.6% compared to the previous year. At PIMCO, they went down 6%. Allianz Global Investors, on the other hand, had a great development. The strategy of integrating the earlier boutique business into one strong asset management business under one brand has well paid off. 10% growth in revenues. That is a very good result given the current environment. And if you look at the next page, you can also see the operating, the profit contribution of Allianz Invest, that is for the first time above 100 million for one quarter, with 110 million for Allianz Global Investors. Therefore, Allianz Global Investors, which is still might still seem small compared to PIMCO, but in asset management, in the asset management industry, 110 million profit in one quarter is in itself one of the larger asset management results. PIMCO with 600 million euros, that's still a very high result, and in the asset management sector itself, we are exactly on the median point of our outlook that we had posted in February 2014. So I would think that asset management and in general has developed the way we expected it to do, and I think we're well suited for the future development. Let me now sum this up, and then there's also the corporate segment which is contained here. Here we have the costs of our headquarters, and some smaller business segments, which are being managed for the whole group. 248 million loss in the corporate and other segment. This is the result you would expect, because only our IT investments are contained under this position, and only everything that we have to invest for global improvements in the IT segment for our group. On the next page, you can see the summary, how we get from operating profits to the net income for the shareholder, with 2.65 billion in operating profit. We're around 100 million higher than last, over 100 million higher than last year. We had a little higher realized gains and losses compared to the previous year, and less impairments, and that therefore leads to a higher income before taxes. Then we have an additional complexity in our profit and loss statement, because for insurance companies there is always one exception to the profit and loss statement. So for our customers in Stuttgart at the BFH, we've received a court decision about the tax recognition of realized losses from the year 2003, and the German German courts sometimes take a little time, but nevertheless, the decision has led to the fact that 158 million euros will come out of this decision in Stuttgart as additional profit contribution, and that is what's included here under the title of reclassification of tax benefits. Therefore, we had to recognize this in a very complicated way. It looks like reduced income taxes, but that's not what it is. It's rather the fact that the tax income we received will flow to the customers in Stuttgart. Therefore, the tax rate of 27% that we've posted, effective tax rate, isn't truly 27%, but we'll continue to pay 32% of taxes, because this tax benefit doesn't go to the shareholder but to the customers in Stuttgart. But according to IFRS regulations and rules, we have to present it the way we've included it, and I have to ask for your understanding for this complexity. Now, coming to the summary on page 21, we've seen great growth in the top line, plus of 14.5% operating profit, 5.2% higher, the net income plus 11.2%, and we continue to have a very strong capital and balance sheet position. We can confirm our outlook for the end of the year, and that leads to the question, what will the company do with its profits? And the board of management and supervisor boards were motivated to announce a new dividend policy. Therefore, and that brings me to the last page of our presentation, we announced yesterday in the evening that starting from fiscal 2014, we would increase our payout ratio for the dividend from 40% to 50%. We also confirmed, which has been the standard practice of the company, that we will keep dividend continuity. That is to say, we want to at least keep the dividend on the previous year's level and not reduce it. Of course, as a cautious insurance company, you have to include some mechanisms to protect yourself. So from the 1st of January 2016 onwards, Solvency II will be the obligatory ratio, and with our economic capital, we've tried to include this already, and therefore the dividend policy will be subject to the fact that our Solvency II ratio will remain above 160%, and as I said, we're starting with over 200%, so it shouldn't be that difficult. And another caveat that we've said is that each and every year 20% of our net income will be used for acquisitions, and over 3 years we will then check whether there were any interesting acquisitions like the Unipol acquisition this year. And if that's not the case, if that shouldn't be the case, then after 3 years we would pay out the unused M&A budget in a suitable form to our shareholders. And that brings me to the end of my presentation, and I'm looking forward to your questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. So that brings me to the first question of today, and we have Michael Flämig of Börsen-Zeitung.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Flämig from Börsen-Zeitung. I have three questions, first about dividend, then the loss ratio, and the third question about Fireman Fund. First to the dividend, this new policy with regard to the timing and the amount surprised us. Last time when the Allianz was daring to give a multi-year outlook with regard to the profit, there was the financial crisis. It's not a minor tickle, but still there's the question, what is the basis for this multi-year statement despite all these protective measures? I mean, is that an analysis that the crisis is over, or is that the analysis that the Allianz is so strong that they don't need to grow that much any longer, and 20% for external growth and 20% for internal growth? The second question about combined ratio is excellent, and the loss ratio is slightly higher than the analysts expected. Is this just a transitory phenomenon as soon as the U.S., Russia, and Brazil keep being reduced, or what is your opinion? Third question about Fireman Fund, and you said that the retail business future still needs to be looked at. Do you perceive, or will you be anticipating any extraordinary effects in the P&L? Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Flämig. Like always, three sophisticated questions from you. The dividend policy, I believe a dividend policy, making an announcement on a change that always needs to be on a multi-year term, because defining a dividend policy for just 1 year would never justify the word dividend policy, because that would be just an opportunistic ad hoc decision. I believe that capital management in a financial group, specifically when you look into the long-term horizon, is always a long-term management mission. And that is why I believe the multi-year approach is justified. Well, further to the question whether our growth is being influenced by that or impaired because we are making the side disbursements, I would say that our solvency position currently is at a level, I'd say, meaning that organic growth basically can be financed. And once you consider the risk assessment, including 3-4% growth worldwide in terms of risk, this is a very good average growth for the group, so to say, and which is definitely backed by our dividend policy. Slightly higher loss ratio, that was a good observation within the so-called basic loss ratio. That is the attritional loss ratio. It's 1.3 percentage points higher than last year. And we have two effects we've seen. The half percentage are from larger losses than in the previous year term. And secondly, in fact, that Brazil, Russia, and some extent of Fireman Fund that make a contribution to this higher loss ratio, and basically seem to overlap that or cover that more than 90% of the portfolio this year has been developing better than last year. And I believe that also with these targeted measures, with the three countries that we've installed, we are able to compensate. We will be able to compensate that for next year. Talking about retail business and Fireman Fund, well, the statement space to be retail. Yeah, we private. We can't really say how the strategy will develop further, but all strategic options are being verified at the moment. That's why I think we were focusing on retail, and that's why there's going to be fewer the updates by the end of the year. May I probe? Yes, please. So within these options, do you also see extraordinary effects in the P&L reflected, or would that be excluded? Do you mean that it's going to cost money or bring us money? No, that it costs money. Okay, that it will be at an expense. No, I don't think it will cost money. Okay, great. Thank you cordially. Now the next question of Oliver Süß from Bloomberg. Good morning. I just wanted to ask when you talk about fund outflow in PIMCO in October, whether you could say, because there were only the figures about the total return fund so far that have been disclosed, that would be interesting. Apart from that, in this chart on page 40, where you're showing the future dividend disbursement is going to be structured, there's also an item of the 10% buffer. Will you be able to say anything about that? What precisely is that? And also whether the topic of shift of investment to real assets, which used to be 20% and now is being done. And then the third and last question, in the business report, in your report, it says that in the fourth quarter at PIMCO, a new bonus program is supposed to be implemented in order to keep the employees and guarantee performance. Can you give us a few more details for which employees at PIMCO this bonus program will be applicable? And what are the criteria according to which these bonus payments will be made? That's it. Thank you. Good. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Süß. PIMCO in October, I think you also saw that the total return fund in October amounted to approximately $28 billion. That is between 21 and 22 billion euros of net funds were shown, whereas these outflows basically occurred to him within the first trading days of October. And I'm sure you've also noticed that there are figures about the other mutual funds outflows across all mutual funds together that amounted to something less than the outflows of the total return fund. And as a whole, you can say that 80% of all outflows in October happened in the US, 20% happened in Europe, Asia, and compared with that in the inventory, Europe and Asia make 30% and the US only makes 70%. And we can also analyze that approximately 70% of the outflows occurred to funds managed by Bill Cross before. And that basically renders the picture. And like I said before, what is important to note that an asset manager renders outstanding services and to a great performance. And having 93% of our performance over the 3 years, I think we are able to say that we are well positioned. Coming to the question regarding the dividend chart, this 10% buffer simply used for having a long-term non-shrinking dividend. If you promise that the dividend will not be shrinking, of course you will have to be able to cover years where the net income has not increased or probably has been reduced. You know, if you're exposed to the financial market, this will never come as a surprise. And that's why you always have to have some monetary buffer and a reserve in order to compensate these years which have seen reduced gains. Now, what about the stronger investment in real assets? I believe this risk coverage can be carried from our substance from within the company. No need to use the current yields and gains because we have a very good solvency. And with the product perspective, we explicitly are carrying out the strategy of reducing the capital consumption of the long-term guarantee and shift it into more risky investments. And once you're pursuing such a strategy, you don't need any particular or additional budget for that, which is exactly how we are going to cover the Solvency II regulations, to do more for the customers and not working with guarantees which are basically in the low interest scenario would not benefit the customer anyway, because when customers have 1.2% guarantee for 40 years costs a lot in terms of capital, but definitely after 30 years I will not be making customers happy after 30 years. That's why perspective is the perfect response of strategy that allows them to put more risk capital into real assets. And your last question related to the PIMCO bonus program. And those people that benefit from the bonus program are those who are not participating or taking a share in the profit pool with no profit sharing strategy. This is the senior portfolio managers, which are below the classic of the class of the managing director level. And I think it's important to note that to make our teams, keep our teams fit for customer services and investment performance, which is also being reflected by the HR fluctuations in October, we have not seen a single portfolio manager leaving after the leaving of the Bill Cross. And you might have taken from the press coverage that further senior people were recruited. Sometimes these related to people that came back to us, but also other very well-known personalities in fixed income that joined the team. That's why PIMCO will also be a household name in the future in the American investment management business. Now from Wall Street Journal, Isabel Gomez is on the line. Well, good morning. I have two questions. Just one question about understanding it. What is the net earning? Is that the balance sheet earnings? Because you mentioned this in connection with acquisition, that 20% of the net earnings are being used for that. And the second question is, and with regard to your investment into infrastructure, Mr. Schäuble stated yesterday that he's also reserved some money for investments into infrastructure. And I would like to know from you whether that this could be the starting point for you to start with debt-financed investment programs covered by the government, and the idea that you were also backing to deal with public and private partnerships in infrastructure. Thank you very much, Mrs. Gomez. Well, net earnings. Actually, that is a, you know, a rather easy term to say. Well, my colleagues probably were shaking their heads. It's about the net income for the shareholders after deduction of the minority shares. This is the only thing that we could use for the dividends. In some of our entities, we have minority holdings, like in Ola Hammers and others, and looking at the overall picture, which is itemized as a quarterly surplus, which is the Kirkus German word, the Quartalsüberschuss, all right. A shareholder's net income would have been the word that I know better, actually. Well, the infrastructure, that is a highly interesting development in Germany, and in fact, it will be nice to see if also Germany would be supporting the public-private partnerships more, which is a topic that in the UK is looking back on the many years of history. And also in the third quarter, with our investment into Porterbrook, we have participated in a public-private partnership in England, and which is, so to speak, a business that comes from the privatization of the railway business in England, which means that trains and cars were introduced into various companies, and now we have developed a share into a rolling stock participation. And that would be nice if this could also develop in the same direction in Germany once the framework conditions would be right. I'm sure we would love to take a part in that in our investment. So I can conclude from your answer that you do not fear that since Mr. Schäuble was making the statement with regard to the billion of investment program, that you focus on the private share in that word only. Private and public investments, that you would waive the private part. No, we did not interpret this release or announcement yesterday. I think there's such a high investment need that 10 billion is a good start, but I don't think that this will help to solve all the imminent problems. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question from Herbert Frommer from Süddeutsche Zeitung. Yes, good morning. I'd like to know, Mr. Wehrmann, this higher dividend, first of all, you would ask yourself, do you have to do that? Why are you doing this now? Is that a share price support program? Is this supposed to make the share price more attractively? Because we had a roller coaster ride in the past. The second part relates to the crisis of Europe, the ECB policy, and your big commitment in Italy. Is this all over? Are we not seeing any risks any longer? Are you virtually saying that the crisis for you definitely is over? You said the 4% life insurance for customer, 0.8% for the shareholder. Did I get this right, the 4% after costs? And in terms of the costs, you're still working on the asset management, you're still making money with the costs for the asset management, or should that interpret differently? Well, there are market rumors that the Oldenburg Landesbank is supposed to be sold. Are these rumors right, or is this... Thank you very much, Mr. Frommer. Why higher dividend now? I think this was an open question of the investor and share market and equity market to the Allianz during the past 2 years. And that is simply follows the dialogue of higher dividends and to have a more active capital management policy has been going on for many years. In February, on our balance sheet press conference, our financial press conference for the year, we talked about that in February. We said that we're going to solve the problem this year, and on the 7th of July, when we had an investor meeting, the Capital Markets Day, that's where we became more concrete with regard to this topic, and so we committed ourselves before year-end to disclose a proposal. And I'm sure we could have postponed it a few weeks until the end of the year, but I thought this was definitely reasonable to combine this with the third quarter. Well, do we have to pay a higher dividend? Well, probably it's nothing that is mandatory to do from a company's perspective. But also, you know, we're obliged to show to the shareholders what we're doing with the net income. And I think this was shown on this page where the 100% of the net income will be distributed for the various activities. And I think this is a very fair and well-balanced decision that we've taken on with this mix. And also that reflects the self-assurance of the board looking ahead into the future of the company, or Mr. Bethe's assurance towards the capital market. And this is definitely supported and reconfirmed by the entire board, and it has also been approved by the supervisory board, and that is why all people involved are fully supporting that, and that's what everyone sees, that the position is well positioned, that we have an excellent balance between the three segments, plus the diversification between the three segments has worked well during the past 3 years, and has shown to be quite robust in terms of crisis. Well, your question relating to whether the crisis is over in Europe, we all know that Europe still has to do their homework. And, well, it's nice to see that Mr. Draghi keeps on working with financial engineering in order to support Europe. But the economic growth has to initiate it and support it in each country. That means that central financial engineering will not take away the burden from the individual government. And the question as to whether the crisis is over in Europe can be answered once the governments have made their and completed their tasks. And your last question, as you know, Mr. Frommer, Oldenburg Landesbank is one of the companies where we have a minority share, and these minority shares are stock listed, and that's why I'm never going to say anything about any stock listed subsidiary within this session, within this conference call. One more question, 0.8. And, yeah, right, the 0.8. Based on the German system, costs, and with regard to the cost, customers also take a share in the profit. We only have one source of the profit, which is the investment margin, which we outlined here, because on a worldwide basis, this is the more important calculation, which is relevant for our overall portfolio and not for Germany alone. So within Germany, we also have the 50-50 share of the cost and profit. And also with Allianz Life, there's a cost gain and no cost loss. And when it comes to mortality gains, with the change of the enactment that was enacted a few weeks ago, with the change of the statute and at the law, the share of the customer has been increased, so that apart from the interest margin, the customers also can enjoy the other sources of prem profit. Let's come to the next question of Ulrike Bauer from Wall Street Journal.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Most of my questions have already been answered, but let's see. Maybe one additional question. The share ratio in your portfolio, how high is it currently? Have you increased it over the quarter? I didn't find anything in the documents that quickly. Well, the share ratio is slightly higher at 7%. That was also thanks to the positive developments of the stock markets on the 30th of September. The stock prices or the stock markets were before their mini crisis, and I believe at the end of October it might be a wee bit lower because the DAX at the end of October was below the result of September. But I think for the year end, the 7% plus minus will be a reasonable figure. And it's turned out over the last few weeks there were some purchase options for long-term oriented investors. And what was the ratio like in the previous quarter, in the second one? Oh, let's see, I think close to a percent lower, but not far away from the 7%. Our next question is by Kerstin Leite of Handelsblatt. Good morning. I have some short follow-ups about PIMCO and the dividend policy. PIMCO, with the outflows, has been in the focus quite a bit, and there were some discussions whether you had taken all the necessary measures to bring PIMCO back on track. Now, you've taken changes, and my question is, do you believe you've taken all the necessary measures already? And the second question will be, based on which figures would you say, or based on which parameters would you say, that PIMCO has come back to track? What are the figures you're looking for, the parameters, and do you think that the performance will increase and the outflows will have stopped in the near future? And then a last question regarding the dividend payout. Do you believe there aren't enough acquisition possibilities, and in which areas would you be interested to acquire other companies? Well, thank you very much, Ms. Lytle. I think we've taken all the necessary measures at PIMCO because the main topic is performance and customer service. As I said before, there haven't been any changes in the portfolio and customer teams. That is to say, the customers can rely on the same degree of service quality and orientation to profit as in the past. The 93% outperformance over 3 years is an excellent figure, and a figure many fund managers would aspire to reach. And as long as PIMCO shows these great performance figures, we're quite confident that following this transition period that we've gone through, the performance will recover, will start to recover. I think until the annual general meeting, many elements will have cleared. And what are the parameters we're looking for in this regard? Well, of course, the inflows and outflows do play an important role. That's the first key indicator we're looking at, and then the performance. Now, the question regarding dividend policy, is it a yardstick, or does it show that there is not enough, that there aren't enough acquisition opportunities? Well, certainly acquisitions have become a little more difficult if you look at the transactions that were announced over the past months or have been announced, and it's changed from a seller to vendor market. The prices reached were fantastic for those who sold, but not that interesting for sellers. Therefore, for small and medium acquisitions, it hasn't become any easier. But nevertheless, I would say that our fighter acquisition business shouldn't be seen as excluding any other acquisitions. If there is any truly attractive opportunity which hasn't been covered by the budget, then we might have to finance this through the financial market. And I mean, that always leads to a reasonable discipline in acquisitions, because then you have to explain the business case in detail and get the agreement of the investors, and that's always a good starting point for an acquisition. Before we come to the next question, just to remind you, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now come to Alexander Hübner of Reuters. Good morning, Mr. Wemmer. Some questions. First of all, with PIMCO, I realized that the HR costs have declined significantly. It's at minus 8%. So I'd be interested, is that just the salary of Mr. Gross, or what's behind that? Then the second question regarding dividend policy, this is tied to your net income. Could you explain to us whether over the course of this year is supposed to develop in line with the operating profit? I had some remarks that you expected it to remain stable even if operating profit was to increase. And then also regarding the dividend policy, following up the question of my colleague of before, well, the budget that you used to have for acquisitions in the past, over the last years, did you always use that budget, or has there always been a remainder that then went to the shareholders' equity? Thank you very much, Mr. Hübner. Well, personal costs, HR costs at PIMCO are variable in general, because we have a raw profit, if you wish, that we calculate, and that will then be divided between the variable income of the managing directors and the shareholders. That is to say, if profit goes down, then HR costs will follow in line. That's the what you call an alignment of interest, you know, and that is the main explanation. Now, looking at net income, the net income of the group of the 9 months, we are 5.5% higher than in the previous year. In the third quarter, we've grown by 11%, and even if we don't give any result forecast for the end of the year, you can certainly consider yourself that it won't get that much weaker than in the previous year, you know. If so far we've been well on track with 5 billion for the 9 months. And then you had asked for the M&A budget. Looking at page 40, you can see in the left-hand side, in the bar diagram, that was the old situation that we used to communicate. The 20% for M&A had always been part of our presentation, and the 20%, did we use up the 20% in the last few years? Well, and last year, yeah, to a certain degree. Here it's not page 40 for you, but page 22, so I had the different version here. So for this year with Unipol, in the 9 month report it says we had exactly 375 million which we spent, and then there were some tiny acquisitions in addition to that, so we haven't used up the budget by far for this year, certainly. But I mean, the year hasn't finished yet, so let's see. Thank you. As we currently don't have any additional questions, I would like to hand back to Mr. Gross for his final remarks. Then there's not much to add from my side. I would like to thank you for your participation and have a great weekend. And back to Mr. Wemmer. Yeah, thanks also from my side, and enjoy the weekend. Goodbye.